Back on downtown, time for a message in the bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meenan joining us, not in studio, but over the telephone this afternoon. Oh, it's good. It's just not the same. We miss you, Eric.
Do you miss me, Rich?
Yes.
Is it me?
Yes.
Really? Okay. I mean, I want to believe you. I do. And it probably has nothing to do with, it's a tough day. It probably needs some liquid refreshment right now, and I'm unable to do it. I have failed you, ultimately.
I hadn't even thought of that. That's right. You bring us something every week. That was secondary.
That's right. Now you remember. That's okay. I did want to say, by the way, that Ryan's voice on the Angelo, he sounds like someone off Dragnet. It's true. It's like a crime scene. It's fantastic. I think we need to, like, bring back the old radio serials or something and get him in on it.
Perfect.
That's fantastic. As you mentioned, I am actually below my store right now in the depths of 86 Hammond Street. My lovely wife is watching the store. But, yeah, our manager had to call out sick, so I am watching the store today and would love to see any of you lovely folks out there in Radio Land who would like to come and purchase some wine from me. I'll be here until 7 o'clock tonight. We're wrapping up our first 6 months of the sort of go around the sun here where we talk about and learn about wine, and we've been talking for this past month about appellations and what makes certain pieces of dirt more special than other pieces of dirt, and we've touched on, you know, the Cistercian monks of Burgundy, and we've touched on the New World a little bit. We touched on port last week, rather. And a little bit of a curveball today that we'll chat about, and then kind of close up everything in anticipation of the next 6 months, and we'll be going throughout the world to individual spots and seeing what makes them so great. So today I thought I'd talk a little bit about cider, and not just any cider, but cider, and this will surprise no one, of course, that we're going back to France. We're going to Normandy. So France, obviously, extraordinarily well known for wine, and we've certainly touched on that more times than you can probably count. And so many places in France make wine. A lot of places that you don't think about don't make wine, though. For instance, the region around Paris, everybody goes to Paris. There's no wine made there. Nothing good. And in the whole center of France, it's a huge high plateau called the Massif Central. It's just too cold, nothing growing there. But the only place that actually is sort of near a body of water that might sort of help, you know, moderate the temperatures and stuff like that, but ends up not really working, is this area of Normandy. And it's a fantastic look at why one terroir is better or worse for a given agricultural product than the other. And people always, you know, wonder why there's no real grapes there. And the fact of the matter is it's too harsh a climate. The region of Normandy is very, very akin, really, to the coast of Maine in terms of rough weather, sudden weather. I mean, obviously, look at what we're dealing with today, you know, sunshine and rain and all this, you know, temperature variations. So it's pretty hard on a vine, even though the soil there is actually a sort of chalky, marly. It's very, very similar to a lot of great wine regions in terms of the dirt. But the temperature itself, the climate itself, just won't allow it. But it is very, very good for apple orchards and apple trees there. It's basically considered the finest area in the world for ciders, especially. And the amount of we talk a lot about heritage varieties of things, whether it be animal or vegetable. We're going back to try and find what made things so special back in the day when maybe the labor was a bit more intensive, but the quality and the diversity of the product was much more vast. So you see there a huge variety of apples, and the soils there, they're very poor. Just, you know, we talk again about how things like to struggle. Maybe certain vegetables that you plant in your backyard don't want struggle, but certainly we talked about how grapevines like struggle. And also these trees do very, very well in this relatively poor soil. And what it does is it actually, the lack of nourishment in the soil limits the growth of the trees. And that in turn leads to the production of smaller apples, which thereby, funny enough, increases the aromatic intensity. And then also the ratio, you need more apples per volume, and subsequently with smaller apples, you get a lot more skin. And then the skin and the tannins on that lead to the extraction of tannins and the fermentation. And subsequently, some of these ciders are quite tannic and also have the ability to age beautifully, just like their grape kin, as it were. So really, really a very sort of an interesting adjacent to the world of wine in the same rough part of the world, but because just south of this, of course, is the region of Muscadet, and that's the mouth of the Loire River. And obviously, anyone who's ever enjoyed a Muscadet can tell you that really wonderful wine can grow just south of there. And indeed, we've even on downtown sampled bubbly wine that came from England. So that region can do it. It's just this particular part of that coast is just brutal on the vines, and they just don't make it. So it's really interesting to see how people, because if history has taught us anything, it's that people need to get their drink on, and they figure out how to do it. So this region, if you find yourself in Paris and you want to, it's starkly beautiful. It's absolutely fantastic, and the food there is tremendous. All sorts of wonderful culinary treats. It's just there's no local wine. That's cool. There's just a lot of local cider. The DuPont family is one to look out for, both in my store and others. Also, Eric Bordelet, Bordelet, absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal ciders that if you like fine, exquisite wines, they're every bit as interesting to drink. So that's just something to sort of consider when you're thinking about, as we're talking about these various regions over the next 6 months, why are they growing grapes there? Or why perhaps might grapes not work there and work better somewhere else? Because all it takes is one or two little things to change it from being absolutely perfect to being inhospitable. So that'll come up. So that's cider. How much time do I have? This is very odd not having Carrie giving me the finger, as it were.
He's doing it. You just can't see it.
I feel it. I feel it in my soul.
It's mostly just him judging you. About 2 minutes.
Well, that's cool. Good. Okay, 2 minutes. Wonderful. So that'll give me time. So now that we've talked about these special little pieces of dirt, and now that you folks are really realizing that the regions matter, what's in the soil matters, the sunlight matters, the inclination of the vineyard slope to the sun matters, all these things matter. And as we spend time going over, what makes the Moselle River different from the Rhone River, different from the Russian River Valley in California, be thinking about these things because they definitely matter. And then the other thing that matters that we'll definitely touch really quick before we leave here today is that even in places that might not be lauded, might not be the most famous, there are producers who are so good at their job and so good at finding little diamonds in the rough, little gems, that we'll find certain producers making unbelievable product from places that aren't necessarily as lofty or as grand. And I'll use this as a time to talk about our wine of the week because a very special little drop of wine just happened, and I'd love to tell folks about it and sell some of it to these lovely folks. We have Syrah, the grape Syrah from the Northern Rhone, from basically the lowest legal classification you can get, B, because it's not on one of five-ish really, really, really steep hillside slopes on the Northern Rhone. But it's both Syrah and then a rosé of Syrah, which just dropped literally like 2 hours ago in the middle of me writing my newsletter about the regular Syrah. This rosé that I had pre-ordered months ago decided to show up, so I took it as serendipity. So we have, the guy's name is Yves Pierron, and he makes bottles that are way too expensive for me to drink on a regular basis, except for these wonderful little gems. And so anybody who likes really, really excellent Syrah and excellent rosé, do come on in, because both of those bottles for the rest of this week will be 10% off, and I can't recommend them enough. The other thing I wanted to tell you before we run out of time is our tasting is on the 20th of June. I know that's coming up, but it'll be here before you know it. It seems to be the way things are running these days. So I look forward to seeing you all from 5 to 7 on the 20th of June as well. And I guess that probably takes me out of time. So we'll see you here for the beginning of the whole darn world of wine starting next week.
We look forward to it. Thanks, Eric.
All right, gentlemen. Bye-bye.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle. Every Tuesday afternoon, of course, stop in and see Eric and the crew. 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor.